Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
Good morning, everybody. So great to be with you. And I'm just really pleased to say that I've just recovered from COVID. In fact, I'm probably 2 days from being fully fighting fit. And I just want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank you for all of the messages that people have sent me. And just want you to know that things are moving forward. I'm excited about what God's doing. And I feel good today. Today, I feel really good. And I feel excited about what God wants to say to you. You know, as I've been fasting and praying, one of the things that God spoke to me about, and probably the only word that I want you to remember today, and it's one word, and this word is going to change your life. It's going to help you live life well. One word that will ripple through the next 5 years of your life and bring significant implications and outcomes. One word that if you understand, if you'll inculcate, if you'll digest, if you'll apply and execute to your life, will transform you, will strengthen you, focus you, and make you run faster than ever. Be more effective than you've ever been before, and that word is simplify. Simplify has so much profound implications attached to that one word. Simplify your life so that you can clarify your mission. For 21, then you can intensify your focus, simplify your energy, and amplify your impact, and multiply the outcomes of your life. It's as simple as that. If we'll simplify and clarify, we'll amplify, we'll intensify, we'll edify, and we'll multiply. You're going to hear those words over and over and over again because our whole lives are built on our ability to keep simplifying. I remember a number of years ago when I lived in Dernancourt, Pastor Jane had a set of rose bushes, and we had a narrow entrance to our driveway, and so she filled it full of roses, and they were beautiful red roses, all the same color, and they were just beautiful. And then one day I drove home, and they looked like they were doing well. But when I got to the driveway, I noticed that some butcher had got out there and cut everything off. All the green was gone. All the flowers were gone. There were only stumps. There were only twigs. There was only barely a resemblance of what was there before. Of course, I'm thinking, what's gone on? So I went inside and I said, what did you do? They looked great. And Jane said to me, being a great gardener, she said, listen, those things needed to be pruned. They needed to be simplified because there's better fruit coming. And I said, well, the fruit was pretty good. She said, listen, it's nothing like what it could be, and I need to shape those plants so they become everything that God wants them to be and that I want them to be. And so today, as I talk to you on Vision Sunday, whether you're at Clare Valley or at Mount Barker or you're down south or you're at Salisbury or in the city or at Paradise, God wants us to know that simplify is the answer to intensify and to multiply. And I'm going to talk to you about that today. The amazing thing was, months later, as those roses recovered from the brutality of the secateurs, when Jane went out and cut those things right back, we started to notice the blooms were bigger, the fruit was greater. Suddenly there was a majesty and a shape about those rose bushes that was more magnificent, more impressive, and more beautiful to the eye than ever before. And that's what simplify does. In fact, it's a biblical principle that we're going to go through today. And God spoke to me. He said, listen, I want 2021 to be a year you shake off the blues of 2020, shake off the sluggishness of the last couple of years, and I want you to run with purpose. I want you to run with focus. I want you to run with energy. I don't want you to work harder. I want you to work smarter. I want you to multiply. I want you to impact the world in a greater measure. You see, God's got a vision for us to plant 200 campuses. Could we do it at the present rate? No. So we need to simplify in order to multiply, in order to amplify. Our whole mission is the fruit. You know, God wants us to be incredibly fruitful. And so the success of this year depends on a couple of things. It depends on what you say yes to. Saying yes is important to the process of simplify, because then you know what to say no to. You know, Proverbs 29:18, we know it well, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. In other words, they don't know what to say no to. Restraint is about saying no to things. But if you don't know what to say yes to, you'll never know what to say no to. And that's how our lives get cluttered. That's how we become unproductive. That's how we slow down. That's how we accumulate. And it's time to begin the process of simplification so we can achieve multiplication. God wants you to be fruitful. In order for that to happen, we have to simplify everything. You know, the gardener who tends rose bushes or any kinds of trees or whatever has only one motivation for pruning, and it's to simplify the plant so it produces more fruit. Pruning is to simplify, to intensify and multiply the outcome. This is a really, really important point. You need to understand, sometimes God doesn't turn up the way we want at the time we want it, and he seems to make us go in a different direction, but it's always because fruitfulness is the goal. God will take things away, take relationships away, take moments away. Why? Because he wants to shape you to the direction he has for you so you can produce fruit, lasting fruit, and even more fruit. You know, I was reading a gardener's almanac or explanation this week about why pruning takes place. And I'll just read to you what I read. It says, a rose bush will survive without any annual pruning during its dormant period. It will, however, become a weak, poorly shaped plant with smaller blooms. It will look neglected and be prone to pests and diseases. Pruning removes dead and diseased canes and triggers new buds to push at the base so that new vigorous canes can form. Notice that. If we don't simplify, we become weak. If we don't simplify, we become poorly shaped. If we don't simplify, we'll have smaller fruit. If we don't simplify, we'll be prone to pests. We'll be prone to infections, spiritual infections, life infections. It's important for us to understand God's purpose in simplifying so that we can intensify, amplify, and multiply. Oh, I tell you what, God wants to get this word into your heart today. And whether you're at Mount Barker, whether you're down in the south watching there with Pastor Steve and the team, or you're at Salisbury with Pastor Janine, or with Pastor Tony at Paradise, or with Pastor Doran at City, or Pastor Simon in Clare Valley, I want to tell you this word is for you. It's for our whole church globally, and God wants you to understand it. He wants you to get it. Now, there are five reasons why the gardener prunes. Five reasons. Then we're going to get into John 15 and look at what Jesus said about it. Because it's a phenomenal passage of scripture that's located right in the middle of the Last Supper. Just think about this. Jesus is having his last meal with his disciples, and he talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about what to do, not to be afraid. John 14 is about not being fearful. You're going to have trouble in the world. And suddenly he inserts this analogy about vines and branches and fruit, and you're my disciples. And he inserts it quite oddly into the narrative, into the text. And of course, scholars over the years have debated why he did it. Maybe he saw a picture on the wall, or maybe he looked out the window and saw a grapevine or whatever. We don't know what the reason is, but we know it was purposeful. And it was about, I believe, preparing them for the days when he would not be there and they would have to be self-sustaining and still plug into who Jesus is. Anyway, we'll get to that in a moment. But there are five reasons why the gardener prunes. Number one, as I said before, so you can shape the plant into the right direction. Pruning is about shaping. You know, some of us get out of shape. And the reason why we simplify our diets, the reason why we simplify what we do is to get back in shape. God is trying to shape you. God wants to cut things off. Wouldn't it be great to cut off a few kilos so you get your shape back? God wants to put you in the right direction. So shape is a very important thing. I love sculpted hedges. I love things that are neat and of, you know, the beauty of nature with the artistic design of man is just an awesome thing to behold. I love it. The second reason you cut off branches is to redirect nutrients that have been sucked up by the foliage back to the primary reason the plant exists, which is to be fruitful. All that nice shrubbery is taking the nutrients of the plant and diverting them from the true reason the plant exists. You know, it may look pretty, but it's not producing fruit if it's not being pruned back. And that's why God cuts it off. That's why gardeners cut it back. God is a fruit inspector, not a leaf inspector. He's not interested in the other stuff. He's interested in the fruit. Farmers are after fruit. That's the focus of their endeavor. Fruit. Gardeners are after fruit. It's the fruit, not the activity. It's the outcome, not the effort. I want you to think about what God could do through your life, through our church, if we simplified. And we'll get to the practical things in a few moments of things that we can do. There are so many things that we've been talking about as campus pastors globally about what we can do to simplify, to speed the gospel to the nations, to take away, to lower our costs, to increase our efficiencies so we can plant churches all over the world. This is so exciting, so necessary, and so innovative, and part of our calling to lead the church globally into innovations that provide greater fruitfulness than ever before. The third reason a gardener cuts off those branches is because other things steal energy. Here's the thing, in our lives, there are a lot of activity going on that steal our energy from producing fruit. Think about it. All the things that you do, we are all busy. We have no problems filling our calendars, our lives with stuff. But is it producing the fruit that lasts forever? Is it producing in you the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control? Is it producing in you the kind of stuff that impacts the world around about you? Is it making you a great representation of God? Because right later on in John 15, he says, listen, it's to my Father's glory that you bear fruit. In other words, God looks good when we produce fruit. We can't tell the world about how great God is until we produce fruit that shows them how great God is. So the point of pruning is to cut away all the things that are sucking out the energy so the plant can focus on fruitfulness. Now, I'm going to put up on the screen for you a picture of someone everybody knows. It's some of you will like him, some of you won't. Mark Zuckerberg, the inventor of Facebook and runs Facebook globally, of course. Now, you'll notice, and you've noticed if you've seen him in lots of pictures, that he always wears a very plain and simple T-shirt. And I don't know if he got this from Steve Jobs or whatever, but I was reading a Business Insider article about Mark Zuckerberg, you know, who's got an incredible empire and who's incredibly busy. And this is what he said. He said, I really want to clear my life to make it so I have as few decisions as possible about anything except how to serve best this community. He said after clarifying he had more than one T-shirt. He said even small decisions like choosing what to wear or what to eat for breakfast could be tiring and consume energy, and he did not want to waste any time on that. When I read that, I thought, I agree with you. This is so pertinent to me. It's one of the reasons you'll see me wearing black. I'll either wear black or blue or white. I rarely wear many other colors. Why? I am not a color fashionista. I am not a person that likes standing in the wardrobe and trying to match all kinds of stuff. I don't want to do a fashion parade for myself and look in the mirror and see how I look. I don't think I know how to look good. Pastor Jane, on the other hand, is a fashionista. She's amazing. She can do it. And I've watched her do parades. I see her try on 17,000 different outfits. I can pull out a black T-shirt every single day, a black pair of trousers, a black pair of shoes. I can have black everywhere and I don't have any confusion, any loss of energy. And here's the secret part. I only just worked this out. But you know, I'm always on time for my appointments. Pastor Jane has always struggled with being late. I figured out why. My job is so simple. Wash my hair, it's easy. Get my black t-shirt, my black pants, my black everything out, it's easy. She's struggling with decisions as she puts this artistic masterpiece together, and no wonder she struggles to be on time. You see, there's upsides and downsides, and for me, being efficient and being focused and producing is important. And I'm lucky because she's the fashionista, so if I ever want to splash out, I just ask her what I should wear, and she loves telling me. Promise you that. Okay, so that's enough of our personal life. But listen to Mark Zuckerberg, not even wanting to make that decision because he's simplifying his life so his mind can focus. His mind can focus on the things that are important to him. Things that are important to him. I mean, he looks like the son of a Star Trekker, but nevertheless, he's done it on purpose. And I do the same, and I felt good. I'm like, I'm up there with Mark Zuckerberg, I think. Anyway, moving on. You see, number four was that the gardener cuts things off so it stays healthy. You know, I remember in 2007, Jane and I were at a certain point in our life. We were in Singapore in a hotel. I was about to preach at a large church there. And we were just talking. We were spending a few days. I love Singapore. It's just the most beautiful place, the best food. Oh, it's just amazing. I love it. And we were there, and I was just talking about our lives. Where was our lives headed? And I was reading about Solomon. And Solomon had married all these women. We know the story. We think he married them because he had a problem with women. No, Solomon married those women to make alliances with their fathers, who were the tribal chiefs around about. And by doing that, he created a peaceful and a prosperous kingdom. It was a strategy that was designed to help him move forward, simplify his political relationships by marrying into the family. Masterful, except it didn't quite work at the very end, but still a brilliant. And God began to speak to me and said, Ashley, I want you to look at the friends that you have, and I want you to look at your future. Are they compatible? And as I looked at them, these were wonderful people, amazing people, tremendous people, people we had helped, people that Pastor Jane and I had inputted into and who had grown so much. They were doing fantastic. But they weren't inputting into us. They weren't inputting into us in the leadership kind of way that we needed. Friendship-wise, fantastic. But from a leadership development point of view, it wasn't happening. And I said to Jane, we've got to find other friends. And we've got to add to these friends. We've got to find other friends. Why? Because our life is not in the past. Our life is in the future. And so we started to simplify our world in order to move to the next place that God had for our life. Because my focus is fruit. Jesus' focus was fruit. I can do a lot of activity, but unless I'm fruitful, what was the point? The point of the plant was fruit. Nobody goes up to a banana tree and goes, oh, look at the leaves. When you go to a banana tree, you're looking for bananas. When you go to a mango tree, you're looking for mangoes. The fruit matters, the leaves don't. And that's why we've got to focus by simplifying so that we can intensify and so we can multiply the right things. This is going to be so good. Not only personally is this applicable, but corporately, to our whole church, to all our structures, all of our courses like DNA and New Christians and Growth Track and marriage seminars and parenting seminars. We've got so many wonderful things that we're going to roll out that allows us all globally to do it together with less effort but with more impact. That's the kind of church I want to be part of, and that's the kind of person I want to be, bearing much fruit. The fifth thing is you cut off those things to protect it from disease. Now let's turn to John chapter 15, and I'm going to put up on the screen just my handwritten notes so you can follow along and see how I study. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off, this is God, notice God cuts off every, not just some, every branch in me that bears no fruit. God's the gardener, right? Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and God cuts off, because he cares about our fruitfulness, every branch in me that bears no fruit. While, you know, it's underlined, every branch that does bear fruit, what does he do? He doesn't cut it, but he prunes it, which is a, what's the word? It's a cut, but it's a nice cut. He cuts it so it'll be even, what, more fruitful. What's God's intent for you? To be fruitful and to multiply. The first three commands in the Bible to Adam and Eve, to Noah, be fruitful and multiply. God's committed to your fruitfulness. He wants you to bear fruit. And here we are at the Last Supper. Jesus could say anything, and what does he focus on? He focuses on fruitfulness. He focuses on the cut and the prune to produce fruitfulness. He focuses on simplicity to create a multiplication effect in our lives. He says, it goes on and says this, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Now remain in me. And I want you to notice how many times I've circled the word remain. Remain in me. Remaining's not hard. If I was to say to Pastor Josh in the front row or Pastor Simon Van Niekerk, stay here while I go out and get something. Could you just remain here while I'll go and get something and I'll be back? I'm not asking them to do something that's hard. I'm asking them just to remain. Stay. Stay in connection. Stay where you are. Don't be pulled out of action. It's not a difficult, it's meant to be a receiving. The power of God's grace is my job is to display the fruit and to receive the greatness and the goodness of God while he produces the fruit. And that's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not even my fruit, but I get to display God's fruit for all the world to see so that the world will know that glory belongs to God. How incredible is that? Then it goes on, it says this. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Here's a great word for somebody that thinks that God comes and goes. He says, I'm going to remain in you. Jesus is not going anywhere. No matter what you've done, he loves you. If you've given your life to him, he cares about you. He remains in you to produce great fruit. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It's really, really important. If we're going to simplify, we've got to understand that simplify means to become more connected with the energy source of Jesus and the Holy Spirit than ever before. Verse 5 says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, notice the word remain, right? Remains means to receive. To remain means to receive. Think about the branch. It doesn't have to do anything except receive the goodness of the vine. That's grace. Grace flows like a river. And if you'll just abide in him, everything required to produce the kindness, the gentleness, the love, the joy, the peace, all comes from the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branch, remain in me. Don't do anything, receive it. Don't have to work for it. You don't have to pass many tests for it. You just have to receive it. It's given as a free gift, God's grace and God's favor. God wants you to live in that world in 2021. Chill out, rest in, simplify, get back to the basic things of who he is. And then it goes on and it says this, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Notice that promise, much fruit. But apart from me, don't be fooled, he says, you can't produce love, you can't produce joy, you can't produce self-control. It's the fruit of my grace inside of you that produces it. Takes all the self-effort out of it. He says, you can't do anything eternal without me. He says, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Think of people that didn't remain. And they're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. And he says, there's such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever it is you want. So if you're there at City and you're looking for something that you need from God, if you'll remain in Him, you'll be able to ask. If you're there at Paradise and you're praying for your children, you'll be able to ask. If you're there at Mount Barker and you're praying for that job, you're going to be able to ask. If you're in Clare Valley and you're praying for your harvest, you can ask. If you're there in whatever campus is listening today, guess what? You will be able to ask. Why? Because you've remained in God's promise. Jesus' promise to His disciples in the Last Supper was, you'll be able to ask for anything and it will be done for you. For He says, this is to My Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Can I just say something? What are you asking for? In the context, He's saying, what kind of fruit are you asking for? What do you need this year? Is it love? Is it joy? Do you need more peace this year? Do you need more kindness this year? Do you need more self-control? Are you struggling with things and it's complicating your spiritual life? Do you need more self-control? Do you need a lot more long-suffering? Do you need to learn how to handle what's happening at work? God says, if you'll ask, whatever you ask for, I will give you if you'll allow Me to simplify you by remaining in Jesus and Him in you, He says, and those things will come. He says, it's to My Father's glory and benefit. In other words, God wants you to bear fruit, wants Me to bear fruit, so that God gets all the glory from a world of pagans and non-believers and atheists that don't even believe in a God, but that through you, like Romans 1:20, the creation that's been made, that they would see the invisible qualities of God made visible before them as they look at your life. Wow, that's what God wants for your life. He says, and when you do that, you show yourself to Me My disciples. So it's not kind of like this outcome, well, you know, prove you're My disciple. It just will show people, oh, they're really a disciple of Jesus. Look at the fruit. Look at the joy. Look at the peace. Look at how they go about their lives. Look about how they treat one another. Look about how they smile in the middle of dark times and they still praise in the middle of challenging moments. They don't complain. They don't get on Facebook and whine about everybody. They just start to praise God. That's the kind of fruit God's wanting to produce in our lives. And He goes on and says, as the Father has loved Me, so I have loved you, so remain in My love. If you keep My commands, you will remain in My love. I have told you this. Listen, this is the part I want you to get. Jesus then concludes. He says, I have told you this so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Notice the red marker around that line, that your joy may be complete. What does that mean? Not to have intermittent moments of joy, not to have once in a year joy, but to have complete joy, not only length of time, but depth of joy, not a shallow sense of happiness, but a deep, deep joy. He says you've got to remain in His love, and you've got to allow His love to remain in you, and then joy will be the result of the fruit. So what do we say about all that? Number one, God cuts off anything that is in me that isn't bearing fruit. God prunes the things that are bearing fruit to produce more fruit because God's always about fruit. He's simplifying, cutting things back to make you more fruitful. You see, you can't produce fruit by yourself and you don't have to, and joy will come from it if you'll abide in Him. You know, I want to ask you a question today as we come to a close and as a handover to the campus pastors. What kind of fruit do you want to produce in your life this year? What do you want to see? What do you want to see change? Then I want to ask you a second question. What things in your life right now are not healthy? What things are stealing your energy? How is your life working in a way where fruitfulness is the focus? Have you become too complicated? Have you got wrapped up in things that don't matter? Have you chased after things that are foolish? Do you need to come back to the simplicity? Has your faith been shaken and now your mind is a quandary of thoughts? It's time to plug in. It's time to push in. And this year we're going to be rolling out many initiatives. You're going to hear them over the next few weeks that are going to help us build greater community. We're going to have an ability to get back to an unshakable confidence in God's word and our faith. that it actually takes more faith to be an atheist than to be a Christian. That needs to reverberate and resonate through all of us. We need to be so passionately on fire for Jesus that we can give an answer to everybody, and we're confident, even though the world is trying to really push back the words of Jesus and stop the Christian message from getting into hearts that desperately need it. When you become full of confidence and simplify, it creates an intensification, which creates multiplication. You're going to find yourself feeling different. You're going to be different. Your children will be different. Your life will be different. And our church and our world will be absolutely different. We got so many things that we believe are going to just amplify this message and amplify this change of life, because we only have one life and we want to make it count to the best of our ability. I want to pray for you today, and I want to pray if you've got things in your life, you say, I need joy. I need joy. That's what I need in my life. Jesus promised joy would be the result of abiding in Him and being fruitful. That if you would allow the pruning not to cripple you or to bruise you, but to grow you, it would change you forever. So come on, let's pray, church. I'm so excited about the future, excited about your future, our future. Just imagine in 5 years, imagine if we could speed the gospel. Imagine if we could disciple more people quicker, faster, and better than ever before. Wouldn't that be an amazing contribution to the vision that God gave us to go into all the world and to train and disciple all nations? Come on, let's pray. Father, right now we come to you, the beginning of 2021. We submit our lives to you and we push in. We say, Almighty God, we're going to simplify our lives. It's time to cut off all those noises and voices that keep interrupting our progress, that keep distracting us from a straight fellowship of Jesus. And I pray, Almighty God, today, in the name of Jesus, that the peace and the joy and the love and the kindness and the self-control that we all want, we understand, comes from the Holy Spirit who produces in us. Help us to be good displays of that fruit. Help us to be focused and cutting away all the things that get in the way. We pray in the name of Jesus for the best year ever. Amen.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. you know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.